Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us and even join in the conversation. It's a live program, and our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight, and we're going to go ahead and get started here with a word of prayer this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity, Lord, to come on the air tonight. Just pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory, Lord, and just help us to be a blessing, encouragement to people. Help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about tonight, and we thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, certainly, our hearts and our prayers go out to the people affected by the snowstorm that hit the eastern part of the United States here over this past weekend. We were talking about it a little bit on our Friday program here in northeastern Ohio. Of course, we're on the air every Friday from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, that's livewithpastoral.com, you can see our broadcast time and stations that we're on. But we were talking about the National March for Life that was held in Washington, D.C. on Friday. Of course, Friday was January 22nd. That's the anniversary of the infamous Roe versus Wade decision back in, I believe it was 1973, I believe, that legalized abortion, legalized the killing of unborn children in this country. And they had, of course, the warnings out for blizzard conditions and things of that nature, and a number of people were still there. They had the march, and actually, I've not really had a chance to find out how many people were there. Had kind of a busy weekend here, but you know, in addition to doing the radio program, I have a church to pastor and a number of other things going on right now, but I didn't get the actual numbers, but I suspect they were down a little bit from previous marches simply because of the weather, and there were some people that left early. I know some people that left early, and it's interesting, here in northeast Ohio, there's a college, John Carroll, that had a group of students that had gone there, and they got stuck on the Pennsylvania Turnpike on the way back. They were stuck in the snow. Their bus was stuck there for several hours, and a number of people there stuck in various places. But hopefully, most people that were there managed to get home. I know a lot of airports were shut down across the east, and you know, fortunately here in Ohio, we missed it up here in northern part of the state. We just did not get anything. Saturday morning, we had some light flurries on the ground, just kind of blowing across the street when I was out, and not much. But certainly further south, as you got down into Kentucky and Tennessee, and then over into Virginia and certainly Maryland. And a friend of mine who pastors in Delaware, Maryland, Smyrna, there, he canceled their church services on today because they just had so much snow. And, so again, pray for the people that are there, and certainly parts of New Jersey with the flooding, because as that system moved off into the Atlantic and the wraparound on the sort of the backside of the storm, as the winds wrapped around and come across the Atlantic and started blowing in the high tide, along with a lot of rain and snow, or at least snow coming in, making a nice slushy mush mess, flooding into parts of New Jersey and elsewhere along the coast there. So certainly they're going to be digging out for a while. Here in northeastern Ohio, you know, at the places in our area, we're get used to that kind of snow. We have the equipment for it, but when you get down into Washington, D.C. and places like that, they don't necessarily have the equipment for it. So Hopefully they'll be digging out this week. Last I heard, about 14 people died as a result of accidents and things so far in this storm system that went through. So if you're in part of that area and you're still stuck in the snow, hopefully you'll be able to get out of it soon, or the snow will get to move back soon enough that you can get out and about. But wherever you're at, if you're listening tonight, we're glad to have you, and we hope that we can be a blessing, hope that we can be an encouragement to you. And like I said at the start of the program, if you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here. And thinking about some of these things that are happening. And I had a missionary who's in Ireland sent out a prayer letter. And he was remarking about how they're having tremendous storms in Ireland, and this system that's just moved off the East Coast in the Atlantic. I remember when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed in England. I was stationed north of London, about 60 miles or so north of London, that general vicinity. And these storms like this would come across the North Atlantic, and sometimes they'd pick up steam, and they would come across, and they'd pelt the British Isles. And so this is probably heading in their direction. They have had some really, really strong storms. And ever since November 16th, they have been having just a series of incredible storms, more rain than what they would get in a year, heavy winds and things like that. And he pointed out in his prayer letter that these storms have been going on ever since November 16th, which, not coincidentally, he said, and I agree absolutely with him, is the day that Ireland instituted or legalized same-sex marriages. And, you know, God is not mocked. God will judge nations. He has in the past, and he still does today. And so, anyway, we're going to get to our callers here today. Again, like I said, you can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. 888-677-9673. And we've got Nancy calling in tonight. And Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. And yes, I was very interested in all those buses that went from all over the country down to D.C. Mm-hmm. And before I ask you my scriptural question, I just wanted to ask you sort of a general question about those participating in that March for Life.
Right.
I did go 3 years ago with Pastor mm-hmm. Sanders, you know, on this precious cargo bus, which was a real blessing. But what I wanted to ask you before I ask the scriptural question, which is probably, I mean, it probably is scriptural. How do you feel about, like, fundamental born-again Baptists going down and going in this big, you know, demonstration with probably 90% Catholics? Now, is that a violation of separation? You know, you're supposed to be separate.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I want to ask about that, and then I want to ask you a question about a verse in Revelation. Thank you.
Okay, well, I touch on that one first off. And, you know, as an independent Baptist, first and foremost, we're independent. Any independent Baptist church can do whatever they feel led of the Lord to do, and hopefully they'll be constrained by scriptural principles. And yeah, there is a very definite scriptural principle about separation, touching not the unclean thing, and things of that nature. And I know you just wanted to touch on this real short, so before mm-hmm. we get back to your one in Revelation. And I know another church here in the area. I'm not a member, nor have I ever been a member, but Cleveland Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio, rather large church, and my understanding is that their principle with regards to that is they have engaged in going to things like this. They have a group there that has gone to things like this and gone out you know, protested around abortion clinics and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they've done it themselves. And I understand, you know, from the political standpoint, there's power in numbers, and I understand all of that. But, you know, really, as a Bible-believing Christian, you have to be led of God what you can do. And sometimes it will cause you to limit your involvement. Here would be my problem, and I'm not saying this to be judgmental, somebody who doesn't share the same opinion. I'm just saying that in my particular case, if being involved in whether it's a pro-life thing or anything requires me to endorse people or embrace people that I believe to be preaching theological heresy, false teaching, and but if my involvement involves me making it sound like they're fine Christian brothers and sisters when I believe that they're making, you know, their converts to twofold children of hell, as the Bible says, then that's a problem. That's a problem because I would not want my efforts to save the unborn children, to be complicit in condemning the unsaved souls to a Christless eternity. And so you would have to ask yourself, which is the greater responsibility? Saving an unborn child or saving an unsaved soul. And if my affiliation, if my activity, if my involvement is going to cause people to think, well, you know, those people are okay. They're just looking at the Bible a little differently than what we are. Let me give you an more extreme example, okay? This is a more extreme example. In Richfield, where I pastor and where I live, there's a group that's trying to get this interfaith council going. And in order to be a member of this interfaith council, apparently from things that I've read, because they've sent me some things trying to get me involved and get our church involved, and we're not. But some of the things that I've seen in an article that was recently in the Richfield Times, which is a local news magazine, comes out once a month, had an article where basically the people in this interfaith council agree not to proselytize or convert each other. Now, inside of this council, they've got, there's Sikhs, there's Hindus, there's Buddhists, there's Jain, there's a Roman Catholic Church, there's a United Church of Christ, there's a Lutheran Church, and I'm looking at that thinking, well, okay, you've got the Sikhs who are believe that there's many ways and truths that you can find, and they're searching for truth in a variety of backgrounds, and yet I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by Him. I believe that God's word is truth. And so this interfaith council is supposed to let the spiritual leaders in Richfield get together to advance common spiritual goals and to be a voice for, I don't know, spirituality, I guess, in our town. And yet I'm supposed to say, wait a minute, I've got the truth here. God's word is truth, and Jesus Christ is truth personified, and I've got the truth. These people don't have it.
You would be Muslim from saying that.
Exactly. So, and so in this particular instance, and again, this is different than just the pro-life, but I'm using this as a way to understand it. In this particular instance, you know, I have to look at this. Does my would my involvement, if I joined this group and say that I will not proselytize or seek to convert the other people that go to these that are involved with these false religions, does that mean that people are going to look at that and say, well, hey, Pastor Al doesn't think that the Hindus are that bad? He's cooperating with them as if they're fellow truth seekers, and if they've got some avenue, maybe I should look at Hinduism myself. And in the process of helping to further interfaith understanding, I help condemn people to a Christless eternity. What have I accomplished?
Yes.
And that's why the Bible says what concord hath Christ with Belial, with darkness with light. He says, come out from among them and be ye separate. So people aren't always going to accept that. They're not always going to agree with that. You know, they want to say, oh, you should be able to believe anything that you want. Nobody should be able to condemn something that somebody else believes. Mm-hmm. But the moment I said, well, I don't believe that, they would condemn what I believe. See?
Mm-hmm.
So they're not very logical. They're just speaking from feeling or man's understanding. But if I have the truth in the Word of God, and I believe that somebody is preaching error, preaching heresy, preaching false doctrine, condemning people to a Christless eternity, I do not want my involvement with them to endorse that or in any way, shape, or form make people think that it's okay. Because I have a responsibility to God, to be salt and light, to sound the gospel message to the world around me, and not to be an uncertain sounding trumpet, so to speak. I need to clearly communicate the gospel, and I cannot endorse these other beliefs if I believe the Word of God is true, and I do. So, I can't be in that group because
that's a very good explanation.
Yeah, and so when let's wrap it up there real quick. When you get into the pro-life movement, there's some places where we can get involved, and even with the Tea Party movements and things like that, where with common ground with other groups, where we're not endorsing their belief system. We're not legitimizing it in some fashion, but we do have to be careful. And I think individual Christians and individual churches, because I believe in the independency of the local church outside of the denominational structure, answerable only to God, not to a body of men, local church and their pastors be answerable to God. And you're praying and seeking God's guidance as a local church as to what you can do, that should be one of the things. Lord, is this going to cause greater damage, condemning people to hell, or is it going to be something that I can be involved in without endorsing and making people think that these false beliefs are legitimate?
That's a good explanation. This is not the question was going to be on Revelation, but I just wanted to know, have you heard anything about the government, or a very liberal government, communistic government, asking for volunteer pastors to agree to certain roles, and they would get first priority if there's some kind of a nationwide emergency, that they would get more food, or have better
I see what you're saying.
I can't remember the details of it, but do you think that's legitimate, or is this just
this actually echoes something that we discussed in our Friday night Bible study or after our Friday night Bible study this past Friday night. We have for people who are in the area, we do have a Friday night Bible study. It's from 7 to 9 every Friday night at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, and we have visitors from time to time that listen to the program, and it was either during or after, because a lot of times we'll stand around and talk for a while afterwards about some more things, and we were talking about government control and things like that in churches, but there was during the days after the 2001 September 11 attacks in this country, and some common sense things. This is what we were talking about. Some of these things that'll be used to further the goals of the Antichrist. In fact, I think we talked about some of this morning in our Sunday school hour. But some of these things that'll be used to further the Antichrist's ability to control the world and the people are things that are going to make sense when they're first introduced. And think about this. East of here in North Olmsted, Ohio, there's a church that operates a ministry called the Nehemiah Ministry. And I've actually had them on in our on our Friday afternoon program a couple of times. And one of the things that they do is they try to accumulate building supplies, surplus materials and stuff to help with churches that are being built. Also, they've been involved in disaster relief. Sometimes a hurricane goes through or flooding goes through, tornadoes go through, and a church is destroyed, and they need to rebuild, and they have supplies. And not just the church, but also people. Well, down in New Orleans area, or actually in Louisiana, I think it was more like Gulfport or Biloxi, Mississippi area, now that I think about it, not Louisiana, Mississippi. And they had a church down there that was damaged, but they had a large gymnasium that survived pretty intact during the hurricane there. What was that?
Katrina,
yeah. And so they became a center where the National Guard came in and brought water, brought blankets, brought food and things like that. The Red Cross then started coming in. And this church was helping to identify people that had needs. And they served their community in a very powerful way. And they had a tremendous witness to the community. And I believe the church there in North Olmsted, Columbia Road Baptist Church, through their Nehemiah ministry, was able to go down and actually send some supplies and things down there. And I know some of the tornadoes that have struck in Oklahoma and places like that, they've sent disaster relief. Even Flint, Michigan, where they've been in the news with the contaminated water in Flint, the church there, Columbia Road Baptist Church, just sent through their ministry a truckload of bottled water to help people out. And so they're involved in doing some of this. And as such, you know, they come to the attention of various government agencies, you know, that are involved in emergency relief services. And that just makes sense. Now, during the days after the September 11 attacks in 2001, one of the things that the Bush administration did as a program was to try and identify pastors and things as community leaders that if there was another major attack or worse than 9/11, that they could use these pastors to try and be points within the community to reassure people in the community, and also these churches as means where they could be focal points for bringing in relief efforts. Now, all of that is very sensible.
Yes.
But it also has the tremendous potential for abuse in the hands of evil men. And that's how I think a lot of the things that the Antichrist will use to control people during the tribulation are going to come in. They're going to be sensible things that just make sense. You know, for instance, the See Something, Say Something program. It was a sensible program. You see somebody who appears to be doing some activity to attack or destroy something, and you report it to the police. I mean, don't we do that with our neighborhoods? Like, people have neighborhood block watches. You see somebody sneaking around somebody's house at 2 a.m, peering in the windows, trying them. You see something, you say, hey, that's not right, and you call the police and hopefully prevent a burglary or worse. And so these are sensible things, but in the hands of evil people, they're ripe for abuse. And and I have no doubt that these things are going to be used further the goals of the Antichrist of taking over and martial law and things like that. You'll see over in Europe right now that they call them refugees, but it's an invasion. It's an Islamic invasion of Europe. Go online, look at some of the things, the thousands and thousands of people that are pouring in, you know, and it's just absolutely horrifying what's happening over there. And the government is trying to use pastors and community leaders to say, nothing to see here. Everything's fine. Let's welcome these people with open arms. And yet the situation is becoming so bad in parts of Germany and Sweden and France
Germany today.
There's the rise of the strong man, in the sense there's these ultra-nationalist parties that are coming together. I really fear that this summer, as the weather breaks and more people start coming in, that you're going to start seeing some incredibly violent clashes across Europe with this. And the government is got policies that are allowing these people to come in, and they're trying to use pastors and stuff for that to get people to accept that. And see, there's the problem. The government, even though the policies may make sense in the one hand, they can be used by evil people. When you get pastors that aren't grounded in the Word of God, and they allow the government, you know, basically the government promises them some handouts, promises them some favoritism, promises them something, and they're willing to go contrary to the Word of God, and they're willing to compromise what they say they believe so that they can get the money, get the handouts from the government. There's an attorney that I know, he's got a great saying, government shekels mean government shackles. And shekels, of course, being a form of money in Israel at the time of Christ. And so we really have to be careful of these things. I mean, they have their place. Certainly, if there was a tremendous disaster that struck our area here, I would hope that churches and the pastors would do everything that they could to reassure people, and that you know, churches would become points where supplies could be brought in, relief supplies could be brought in and distributed to people where people could come for help. And they could use that as an opportunity to reach people with the gospel. But unfortunately, the very same program can be used to control the pastors, to control the people. Hey, stick with us, Nancy. We've got the break coming up, and we'll get to your revelation question on the other side. Stick with us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stay tuned. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And just a reminder, we're brought to you not only by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit us, but also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, located at 4889 Turney Road. You can find them online at eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com. That's eastcoastpizzagarfieldheights.com. And you can call them at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. You can find them, as I said, at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you're out of the area maybe, or you'd like to get your own pizza business going or add pizza to your existing restaurant, and you need a good pizza recipe to put in, well, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. Well, talking with Nancy here before the break, and we were talking about a variety of things, and we've got a question about Revelation that we're going to get to. And before we get to that, I wanted to share one thing that ties in with what you were talking about there, Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about government trying to get pastors to report. And this is mm-hmm. one thing I thought of during the break, and I checked it out. In President Obama's executive order regards to gun control, mm-hmm. one of the things that he's put in there to crack down on people getting guns is that physicians and psychiatrists and psychologists and all counselors, even Social Security officials, if they think that somebody's mentally unstable, and that could be just as simple as the person saying, you know, I feel a bit depressed. Let's say a guy comes home from serving in the Army or the Air Force or the Navy or the Marines or something, and he says, you know, I feel stressed out and I'm worried that I might have post-traumatic stress syndrome or something like that. Or it could even be a woman that's suffering postpartum depression because she just had a baby, and that's not, those are not uncommon things. They're required to report these things, and that mm-hmm. can prevent those people from being able to purchase a firearm, or if they have them in their house, to have to get rid of them. And one of the people that quite possibly may be included in that group of mandatory reporters are pastors. And I'm glad to say there's a state representative here in Ohio who Nino Vitale, who out of Urbana, Ohio, here at the, and he's down in Columbus. He's co-sponsored a bill that he wrote, actually, trying to protect priests and pastors and ministers from being mandatory reporters, because sometimes people just need to talk to them about difficult things in their life.
Can you tell me who that is? Did you say there's somebody that, what's his name again?
This representative in Ohio, it's at the Ohio State House, Ohio House of Representatives, Nino Vitale out of Urbana.
Okay.
He is also the same one that sponsored a Ohio Pastors Protection Act because of some of the things in Obamacare. So it's an interesting thing. This is just, he just put this forward. I think he wrote it. It was just released January 5th. And these are some things that are questions that have to be asked about. In fact, in the bill, he says this, let me see if I can find the right one here. That's getting into another area here, but we want to get back to your other things here, but yeah, it's basically our pastor's going to be mandatory reporters in this, and if a pastor does not report that somebody came to him and asked him a question that the government deems suspicious, is the pastor going to be charged with a felony for not reporting that?
Oh, my goodness.
It's a way to strong-arm pastors. And it's like I heard somebody on another program saying, they're not so much worried about people that are having depression or something that aren't gun owners. It's the people that are they're wanting to challenge. So let's get real quick over to the question in Revelation, because we do have another caller calling in, and we haven't got back to that one yet. So let's get that.
Well, thank you for all the other information you gave. But this is something I called toward the end of the show last week, but I just didn't really understand how it pans out, like, in as a relationship to us. This is Revelation 12:10, and for the accuser of the brethren is cast down and accuses them before our God day and night. Now, how do we know, how is this communicated to us? How do we know that Satan is accusing us of certain sins day and night? I mean, is this in our mind? I mean, I know it's maybe sounds like a naive question. If you could just explain that.
And what he is, he's the accuser of the brethren. And it says, and let me read this real quick, and then we'll touch on a couple things. In Revelation 12, verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And as you read through this, you see this actually in the previous verses, that this individual that they're talking about is Satan. In fact, you see that in verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then that's where we go into verse 10, talking about him being cast down, the accuser of the brethren. So those are all titles given to the devil, the great dragon, the old serpent, the devil, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. And as we look at this, if you go back to 1 John, in 1 John chapter 2, Jesus is described for us here in 1 John chapter 2, in verse 1 and 2, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So prior to that, it was talking about how believers do commit sins, but the fellowship suffers. The relationship is never severed. The fellowship suffers, though. A lot of people don't understand that. The fellowship suffers, but the relationship is never there. Is never broken. God never casts us out. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, when we trusted Christ as our Savior. But we sin, and when we do, he says, I don't want you to sin. These things write unto you that ye sin not. But he acknowledges that we do sin. He says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And an advocate is one that stands up on your behalf, advocates for you. And what's happening here is he advocates as the propitiation or the payment for our sins. And he did. He paid for our sins. And the devil certainly tempts us to sin. And not just Satan, but the other fallen angels, the lesser devils, they tempt us to sin. The devil can only be dealing with one person at a time, basically. He can only be in one place at a time. He's not like God, where he's can be all over the place at one time. He can get around faster than you and I can, but he's still limited. He'll only be in one place at a time. But he's got a host of legions of fallen angels, devils. We call them demons sometimes, but devils is a more proper term. And they're doing the same thing. They're all doing the same thing. They're tempting us. They're trying to trip us up. They're trying to cause us to sin. And when we sin, they report that to God, trying to accuse us and saying, that person calls you, that pastor out, look what he did. And he's supposed to be your servant? Why, sin deserves punishment. The wages of sin is death. You said that in your own word. And then Jesus Christ says, wait a minute, I'm going to stand up on behalf of him. I died for him. My blood was shed to pay for that sin. Here's the blood on the altar. And we can see this picture, too, in the book of Job, where it says that in Job chapter 1, verse 6, now there's a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord from and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Now, Satan's lying here. God knew what the devil was doing. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Notice what Satan does in verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and all his and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? See, the devil had been trying to get at him and couldn't. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and substance is increased in the land. Verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. See him accusing Job before God? He does the same thing in chapter 2. And not, for time's sake, I'm not going to read that, but he does the same thing in chapter 2. There he is accusing the brethren. And Job was an early believer. Job was at the time of the patriarchs. I personally believe Job was a descendant of Esau and Ishmael both. So a descendant of Abraham, but not by way of Isaac or Jacob. And he would have been at the time of the patriarchs there. But there's a picture.
Are we aware? I mean, how are we aware that Satan does this communication which God has accused? How do we know that this is happening?
That's well, mostly because the Bible, what the Bible says. That he's the accuser of the brethren. So that tells us that it's happening. And the example there in Job, where we see him accusing a believer before God. And now we don't always know because we're here on earth. The devil runs, you know, he's like the little boy that gets the tries to get somebody in school in trouble. You know, he causes problems. Like I remember one time when I was in, it must have been first grade. Not that this stuck in my mind, but there was this one kid who would do stuff and he'd make noise, and then when the teacher would look up and say to be quiet, he would say I was the one doing it. And I can remember being stood in the corner because him and his friend accused me of making the noise when it was them. And so the teacher believed that I had to stand in the corner unjustly. So I was being falsely accused. And so I experienced that. But a lot of times we don't know what the devil's doing. You know, we don't know. We're here on earth. You know, we're being buffeted by trials and tribulations and temptations and things. And when we succumb, you can bet the devil or one of the other devils is going to go to God and say, look at that. Look at Nancy. She's supposed to be one of your servants. And look what she did. Look what she said. You know, and Jesus, as our advocate, is there to say, wait a minute, that sin's forgiven. The wages of sin is death. I died to pay for that sin. There's my blood that was shed to cleanse away that sin. And so there's how that works.
Okay, well, thank you very, very much, Pastor Al.
Appreciate that.
I appreciate you taking all that time.
All right.
Okay, you have a blessed evening. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. And I appreciate that call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and you can always check out our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can link to our Facebook page for that as well. We've got Edward, who's been patiently waiting. Edward, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, how are you this evening?
Very good. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, I appreciate what you said about expressing concern about the Islamic invasion of Europe, because I can see that on the one hand, pastors might feel pressure about welcoming in refugees, and there could even be the argument made in Europe and in the United States to allow people of other faiths in, because we don't have to then go to their lands to convert them. It's a mission field coming to us.
Oh, that's an excellent point, because think about it. I cannot go to Saudi Arabia as a Christian pastor to go over there and share the gospel with people openly. It's against the law. I would be deported. But if somebody from Saudi Arabia comes here, I have the opportunity to openly share the gospel with them.
Yeah, and there is, and I see some validity to that thinking, and that is, I've been going back and forth with this issue. That is sort of my thinking. However, there reaches a tipping point when you have people coming in, such as Muslims, and by the way, there are some Muslims that I like and care about, and of course I have Christian love for everyone, but when there's a characteristic of them desiring to impose Sharia on us,
right,
then I think that we need to re-examine that thinking and not allow other faiths into our lands, in other words, non-Christian faiths, because the Bible is against idolatry.
Right.
And maybe just go back to what was done and what is still being done, and that is to send missionaries to these countries like South Korea. I mean, South mm-hmm. Korea has been somewhat Christianized by missionaries going over there.
Right.
And there are people that are trying to make inroads into Muslim areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy, but it can be done.
And I know some people who are. Yeah. But one thing that you mentioned about people coming here and these Muslims, I know some people here in the United States who have become Christians who are Muslims.
Good.
And they've been able to hear the gospel and get saved by being in this country. And that's something that has happened throughout our history, people from other lands coming here, whether the dominant religion was Buddhism or Hinduism or some form of animism or something else, and they come here and they encounter the gospel, and they get saved. And that's tremendous, and we ought to be trying to reach these people as they come in. But unfortunately, some of these groups like the Catholic Charities, they're just in it for the money. I mean, they're getting money to bring these people in, and they're just dumping them here. And, you know, communities in some cases are being overrun and overtaxed, and not to the extent yet as in parts of Europe. But we do have to reach these people as they come in. But the unfortunate thing is we're not reaching them as fast as they're coming in.
That's a good point.
And we need to keep foremost in mind that the very first victims of Islam are the Muslim people themselves. You know, they're caught up in a satanic lie that's sending them to the lake of fire for all eternity. And they think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah, and a lot of these are dear, decent people.
Yes.
that are likable, and I mean, I really do. Just from a human perspective, I really do like and care about some Muslims.
Yeah, I remember when I was in college, I was at Colorado State University, and we had a course that we had to take where it was a summer course where we had to travel, and we were visiting various places, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Nevada, California. We were going to various wildlife refuges in national forests, national parks, things like that. We were it was a special course dealing with understanding resource management in a variety of settings. And we had a visiting professor from the University of Cairo with us on the van that I was driving. And very interesting man, real wonderful guy to talk to. And imagine a Muslim university professor stuck in a van with about, you know, a dozen college kids in the early 1980s. And it was very interesting. I remember one time in particular, we were talking about different things on the van, and you're talking about marriage. And he said that the first time he saw his wife's face was when he was being married and he lifted the veil to kiss her.
Wow.
He had never met her before the marriage ceremony, let alone seen her face. And I remember somebody on the bus, one of the girls, just incredulous, going, but did you love her? And he made a great statement. He said, of course I love her. She's my wife. Which, you know, that's a tremendous truth, isn't that? Isn't that what Ephesians says? Husbands, love your wives.
Isn't that something?
And it was a tremendous truth, you know. So there are some wonderful people, but see, man was caught, snared in a false religion. He might have understood a wonderful truth, but he didn't understand the most wonderful truth, and that's that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, who came to shed his blood and die to pay for our sins. And that man didn't know that. He just thought that Jesus was a prophet. He thought that Jesus was not God, and that anybody that said he was guilty of idolatry, that it was an abomination to say that.
Yes, he's the Son of God, and he's the Savior.
Yes.
He's the Lord. and that's the one that they need to believe in.
Yeah.
And the Quran and the Bible, they do have some things in common, but there are differences.
Yeah, more differences. I've read the Quran and from cover to cover. And it's just like, for instance, Haman, that you see in the book of Esther, becomes the prime minister to Pharaoh at the time of Moses. Moses' sister.
About the Quran?
Yeah, in the Quran.
Oh, yeah.
And Miriam becomes the older sister to Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And it's all mixed up in there. And
I didn't quite catch some of that stuff, but I do know that the Quran teaches that the one that they call God in an English translation does not have a son.
Yes, and in fact, they consider it blasphemous. It's idolatrous to believe that he does.
Because the Bible teaches that God does have a son, and we have to believe that for salvation.
And in fact, the Quran definitely says that Jesus never died on the cross. That's denying the whole reason that he came into the world for. And so here you have some very pleasant people oftentimes who really want to do right.
Oh, yeah.
But they're ensnared by this false religion. Now, having said all that, I'm also well aware, I've studied this for many years, and I even remember back from my time in the Air Force during the 80s watching all these Islamic terrorist attacks that were taking place in Europe and the Mediterranean region during that time in the mid-80s. And you have a certain percentage that are what I call fundamentalist Muslims who believe where the Quran says to strike terror in the hearts of the infidels. And they do that. They believe that that you should lie to the infidels in order to further the cause of Islam. And they do that. I mean, they interpret the Quran literally and they practice it. And, you know, that's the groups that are out there, ISIS and the Muslim Brotherhood and Council on American Islamic Relations and just different groups like that, Al-Qaeda. These are all groups that there's no mistaking about it. They are determined to spread Islam, their version of Islam, their fundamental version of Islam, around the world. That's just on the Sunni side. And then the Shiite side, of course, there's groups like Hezbollah, which is the party of Allah, party of God, that are trying to spread their version of Islam. But they're very determined that they're going to reach the entire world and convert it to Islam. And that's what they're doing in Europe right now. That's part of the purpose of these thousands and thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Muslim men that are invading Europe right now.
I have to admire their zeal in principle.
Oh yeah.
I mean, but I agree with you. I think that they're wrong. I think they're they've got the wrong book. But my gosh, they're so zealous.
Yeah.
And but then on the moderate side, when I see, in all honesty, when I see some Muslim women here in the United States and they're moderate Muslims, or whether they're not moderate, when they dress, in a conservative way, I honestly like that. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, and as long as they're doing it by choice. But now yesterday, my wife and I were in a store in the area. In the Akron area, and there was a woman that was there where basically they just have the little slot that they look out on their face covering. But there were several women that were there, and they were dressed like I honestly remember my grandmother and my mother dressing when I was young.
Okay.
Out in public wearing skirt, wearing a covering over their head, like a little, not a bonnet, but a handkerchief that they had over their head. Hey, Ed, I appreciate the conversation tonight, but I realize we got less than 2 minutes to go here tonight. I think it is actually less than that. And I'm out of time now. So I want to thank you for the call. I want to thank our listeners tonight and appreciate everything. God bless. Join us again next week. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.